This episode of the Coastal Noise Podcast is brought to you by Mizo's Juke Joint in Ocean Springs. This podcast that we did here is the second podcast that we've done back-to-back in correlation with the Mizo's comedy open mic that we've hosted the last 2 weeks that we plan to keep going with. Had a great time with it and really enjoyed ourselves, and we appreciate, you know, first of all, the good things that people have said, but more importantly, we appreciate all the people that got up last night and gave it a go, you know, got up and tried some material. You know, some people just had a couple minutes, and then some people were up there for quite a while. Me and Ryan did this thing where there wasn't as many people in the bar at the get-go, kind of like how it was last week, and so I was supposed to go be the one to go up next, and I was kind of taking my time. And then I thought, you know what? Well, why don't me and Ryan just get up there and just start talking to each other and see what happens? Kind of do it like a podcast, I guess you could say. And gear it towards funny material and see what comes of that. So we got another microphone plugged in, and me and Ryan started talking. And me and Ryan ended up pulling an hour-long improv set of just riffing off of each other, going back and forth, and that was pretty much my set. You know, I went from having a little, 10-minute thing solo run to, just talking crap with Ryan for a good hour and just having fun that way. So, it was pretty interesting. And then people started coming in after that, and we had a good time overall. And my niece has just walked into the room, and she's gonna totally interrupt everything that I'm saying right now, aren't you? Are you gonna interrupt everything? Hey, I talk about you sometimes, so you want to tell everybody hey?
Hi. Hi.
And there you have it. So, besides all that, I just want to say thanks, and we're super excited to do this, and we want to keep going, so please come out next time if you'd like, and if you want, try some material out, Mizo's is a super friendly place. The people there are super cool, and you really don't have to worry. You can get over, this is a perfect place to get over the whole fear of public speaking thing, if that's an issue, or if you're just not sure if the material is really funny, just go work it out. This is probably the best crowd on the coast to do it with. So we really encourage you to come out and give it a shot. Let's see, what else we got here? If you want to ask us anything about it, me, Daniel Cavanaugh, Ryan Vanskiver, who are the hosts of the show, you can contact any of us on Facebook. You can find us, you can find me and Daniel on Twitter. So please go there, follow us, and we're constantly posting updates of whether it's a podcast or it's the Mizo's comedy thing. Any of that, just come along, give us a follow. Also, we appreciate likes for anything that we post related to the podcast or the Mizo's comedy open mic. We do this all for free. We work really hard for all of this stuff, and the like button is free, and it shows us that you care, and it turns other people onto it. So that's a big help to us, and we appreciate that as well. You can go to coastalnoise.com. You can go to the podcast page, find all the other podcasts we've done. This episode, we talk a little bit of music and comedy for a while. We talk quite a bit about video games around the middle of it. We talk about all these different things, the Flappy Bird app that was pulled by the Vietnamese creator who's, he just couldn't take the wealth and the fame, so he had to pull it. We talk about Tetris and Zelda and Payday and Borderlands and the UFC and all this kind of stuff. But I know it probably sounds like we're just geeking out and droning on video games and being nerdy, but we wrap it up in the end when we start talking about the business models of physical distributions and digital downloads and where the future of gaming lies. And the video game industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. So if you can understand it and tap into it, it gets really, down to the nitty gritty in terms of why they do things and how technology is going to evolve and all these kinds of things. So, and then we also talk about game ratings for kids and things like that. So It's well worth checking out and enduring. And then, so we move on from there, talk a little bit about some new recent TV shows and all this, and then Greg Slade comes in towards the last quarter of the podcast and sits down with us, and so hang in there for him as well. And also, the very last story that we get into some deep life stuff towards the end, and I close out the show with this recent news event where a man in Bend, Oregon got the bubonic plague from his cat. And it's a fascinating story, so I hope you can hang in there to the very end just to hear about this one, because it's really, really interesting stuff. And the pictures, if you go and find some, I'll probably post some to the website, or just, he is lucky to be alive, to say the least. Anyway, we'll go ahead and get the episode started. Also, on the Coastal Noise page, there's that new blog that I've been talking about with the guitar that I got, that I've restored, that I've been meaning to put up and all that stuff. I'm going to get to that very soon. I've had trouble getting some pictures, and just my schedule's been busy, so I haven't really gotten it all up. I've got it written and all that, so it'll be up soon. In the meantime, on my music page, I've got a new working track uploaded and all that groovy stuff. I'd also recommend the jam session, that improv jam session that I did with Jacob Scrimetti. We jammed one day a couple months back, and it was a lot of good fun just doing some covers and originals and whatnot. On the Mezo's front page, I found this nice little ditty, and it's pretty awesome, so I'm going to go ahead and play it for you for the intro. This is Coastal Noise Podcast, episode 24, with Greg Slade, Daniel Cavanaugh, and Ryan Van Sciver.
Like a bomb in harmony, summer heat. My back is sticking to me to the sea. Bare feet, tank top, and shorts is all you need. But summer breeze, I'm feeling kind of fine. I'm rolling with my shorty all the time. Wine and grind, lovely, shake your behind. Cinnamon skin be bringing sin to my mind. But whether or not the weather's hot or the weather's cold, I'm wrapping a Leica blanket with my whole soul. So
I bought some cologne, right? And I left it in California because I was on vacation. I left it in the bathroom, so I was like, whatever. My mom, for my birthday, bought me some more. But she got perfume, the perfume version instead of the cologne version. And I didn't realize this till I was like an Eva Mendez commercial and she was in it. And I was like, wait a second. That's what I use. But
I smell like Eva Mendez.
Yeah, I smell like a pretty girl. It's not too bad. I get compliments on it. And now that I know it's perfume, I keep using it, so whatever. I gotta get through the bottle.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Are you just like, fuck it at this point?
Because I've gotten compliments on how I smell from girls, so.
And probably dudes, or at least they've thought it.
They thought it. They never said it yet, but I'll tell you, a compliment's a compliment.
It's like if I was gay. That's probably what I'm looking for, I think.
My milkshakes will bring all the boys to the yard.
God, that song had legs.
Just the other day, I saw a meme about it. It was someone was on their porch, and there was a milkshake in the, like, sitting on the railing, and it said, "It's been 1 hour. Not a single boy has come to my yard."
Dude, internet memes are so, like, particularly funny.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, it's different from everything else. I fucking love that.
I'll look at any meme.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the names of the ones I really like. I can just picture them. I don't know what they're called.
I like Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grumpy Cat's a really good one. There's some that are, like, famous, right? What the hell? Which one am I thinking of? Like, the Success Kid is one. There's some really funny Success Kid ones. And who's, like, he's, like, a nerdy
Yeah,
nerdy guy.
Brian.
Yeah, Bad Luck Brian. Holy shit, dude, some of those are so funny.
I remember hearing about him, but I never experienced any of his stuff, I don't think.
Dude, they're pretty hilarious. Good.
Just check them out. And it's such an easy like joke format. All you do is you look at the picture and you come up with like one sentence and then another sentence. Super easy. So I feel like anyone could do them.
Did you just throw that entire burger away?
No, I didn't throw it away. It's just in storage.
Whenever I put stuff back in the bag, it's usually it's just done.
Yeah, that's
finished. It's touched the bag again. It's game over. That's you get the food in it, but then it's also the coffin. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of its life, it just goes right back in.
I'm gonna
then you put it under the ground. Eventually, that's where it eventually ends up.
That
trash gets taken.
Definitely getting resurrected for sure.
That could give you a sickness of some kind.
It's the Jesus of burgers.
Hey, what are you gonna do? Boom.
I like your attitude towards severe diseases.
Potential death.
I tell you what, I've laid a lot of tomatoes to waste in a Wendy's bag many a time in my life. Because they'll always fuck you at Wendy's. I don't care what you ask for. You ain't getting it. It's not Burger King. You better remember that.
Did they get it right this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking surprised me. All right, so I am.
So did you kill tomatoes just because you didn't like them? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't kill them. I just shoved them in a coffin. I don't know. They died later.
Yeah, okay.
I guess. All right. Yeah, he caught me. I killed him. I just don't fucking... I don't know what it is about tomatoes, man. It's the texture, maybe, or like... it's not squishy. Like really a flavor to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong.
They're kind of good with like olive oil and pepper, a little bit of garlic salt on the top of it.
You really got to get on... You got to doctor that shit up for it to be something special. I know a lot of... My mom used to be like a raving fan of fried green tomatoes.
I can see your mom just mad in the streets, like raving about it. Like
everyone, how do people not know about this? We do. There's a movie and a book, or a book than a movie. I can't believe that we put this shit on the internet.
We
sometimes.
Took it there. Hey, if it's funny to us, why can't it be funny to
them? I can't believe that people. Watch us talk on microphones and laugh their asses off.
They don't. They just listen. Oh, well, you're talking about stand-up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting too, huh?
Yeah. My friend brought it up the other day. It started because a guy I work with, who like I've really grown to like over this time period I've been around him, said he's taking a leave of absence. So I don't know. He probably won't come back, but like put on his 2 weeks or whatever. And he said... He comes around the corner and he's like, hey, is everybody ready for their compliment sandwiches? And I was like, what? And I was like, I'm pretty sure I know what that is, but go ahead and tell me what it is anyway. He's like, it's a compliment and then something really mean and then a compliment. And he gave me a fucking open face one. Just hit me with something nice and then left me with something mean. And it wasn't that mean, and it's only mean to me because I'm crazy, like in my head. Because this is fine to say. It definitely is. I just like, it bothered me the whole day. Because he was like, Ryan, you're a genuinely nice person. And that's a nice thing. And then he's like, but, and he said it so honestly. He's like, but you're never going to make it as a comedian. I was like, oh, my dreams.
Wow. See, I thought it was supposed to be accurate stuff about you. Like, that's just his opinion on something.
I think
though.
I can make like $30,000 a year at my max. You know, I mean, you know, if things go really bad, I could pull in some dollars doing this.
That would be pretty crazy. I mean, if someone just like, what if, you know, let's say this thing, what we're doing right here, you know, goes on for a while or whatever, we stay consistent with it.
Yeah.
People start, you know, anybody who wants to see comedy, they think, well, you know, there's this thing going on. They come check it out. People from New Orleans and over. And then what if people just, you know, drop in like a lot of A&R people do for the music industry or anything like that. They just come and they sit in somewhere. Because they hear word of mouth that, you know, we do this or whatever. They come here and they watch whoever goes up on stage, and then they're like, hey, and they approach these people afterwards, like, would you be interested in doing a show over in New Orleans sometime? We could put it together. No. And it looks like you've already got a crew, and they can just pick of whoever went on the stage that, you know, they want, would want to do that. And then just go over to New Orleans once a month for, you know, you might only make a couple bucks or whatever, but... Mm-hmm. You know,
but hey, man, that's what I'm
fun
to
do, and a starting point, of course, and then you'd be getting over in New Orleans. And if it's all your buddies together, you know, if all three of us could go do that, it'd be fun as hell because we would just be hanging out. Yeah. You know, we could do podcasts when we're over in New Orleans or wherever.
Also,
you know?
It's not like some dude's coming over and like, hey, you want to go lay some tile in New Orleans? You know,
exactly.
You're asking me to go do what I do anyway.
You want to talk to some strangers and make them laugh?
Yeah, like you're asking me to do something that I do right now for free because it's fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're gonna pay me for it. That's mm-hmm.
so well, even like New Orleans, yeah, but like even just other bars around here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if this is a little bigger, you know, just bartenders,
yeah,
talk about other bars and stuff to each other. So. Mm-hmm.
You really only need a set of 3, maybe 5 people if you want a good show of a of good mm-hmm. length. I have no idea how long we went last time. I don't know.
I think
it was like 45. You did 20 minutes, and me and you did about 10 to 15 each.
I went shorter than both of y'all, but I think total we did about 45.
Okay, yeah. So we could do an hour set between 3 people if we tried.
I think we could do more if it was like a real.
Yeah, we could.
I did. You know, I don't want to use all my material first week of this open mic, so I had more stuff for next week. You know, this mm-hmm. tonight.
I got done last week, and I was like, "Damn, I just burned through a lot of shit."
Yeah, yeah. I've had to go yeah. through and like really like assemble things, and like I don't know. You want to be conservative about it, but at the same time, it also makes you work harder to come up with new yeah. stuff.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That is what I'm going to be trying to do super hard.
I heard Louis C.K. does this, or I don't know if he still does. I'm sure he still does, but he would go on stage and like either in like the very beginning or like mid early, he would use his best bit that he had,
mm-hmm.
like the closer, whatever he's going to use as a closer, just replaced it,
uh-huh.
and he said it like. Put him in this spot, like put him in this difficult position where he had to work out of it, and that made him like exponentially better.
Mm-hmm. You know? 'Cause he was always looking for something to fill
yeah.
a new closer that he could, and then he would take that closer.
It's kind of like
put it in the front of the first bit, and then just that's how he builds up his hour yeah. rotation.
It's kind of like if you're a runner uh-huh. and you want to get stronger, you put a bunch of bricks in a backpack and then you run with that. You know, you just like make things difficult for yourself. I think that's a good idea because tonight's probably going to be the night where I've cycled through all the stuff that has worked. Like I'm going to use some old stuff and I might, you know, pepper in some new ideas. But after this, I'm going to have to start digging. I have like funny stories in my head that I like will remember and then come upon. But mm-hmm. as far as stuff that I've used on stage, I think if I do 20 or 25 minutes tonight, I'll probably... like burn through my old stuff, and some people are cool with like redoing stuff and like, you know, redoing a bit and making it better or whatever. I don't really like the only reason I've done that, I did that last week, is because Mizo's was new to us.
Yeah,
you know, I couldn't go do the same thing again. Like if you ever hear about comedians that go and do the same hour every year, like they tour every year but it's the same shit.
Yeah,
that's if I have a gripe. That's not like really common amongst the rest of like the comedic community about like the blue collar guys is that for a while, like I would see a DVD that they did and see another one and see like 20 to like, I'd say like 30 or 40% of like old bits mm-hmm. and then like new stuff. But it's never as good, you know? It's just...
As that first time you saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I saw the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, the first thing they put out or whatever, it, like, killed me. Like, I thought that was hilarious. Like, and my whole family liked it, and it was, like, a good time. And then the next DVD came out, I was like, this is good, but it's just... there's something missing.
I have 2 ideas that came to me this past week in regards to getting more material... exercises, if you will, that might help us out and would also just be fun mm-hmm. for us to do. One is live on stage. We start trying to engage the crowd into, like, you let's say, like, you throw out something to the crowd. You're like, I have this on my mind.
Yeah.
And then see what someone kind of says back to you. Get some feedback from the crowd. You know, maybe be like, what do you think is funny about this? And then see what someone says. And then kind of talk about it a little bit.
You're gonna have to cycle through like a lot of dumb shit.
What do you mean, from what the people say?
Yeah.
Well,
some people are really fucking funny though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're gonna get a lot of stuff, but hey, if you don't have anything on it already yourself, then yeah. you know, who's to say that, you know, exactly. you're just another person in the crowd, but you're also trying to work it out, and that's you know,
what that is good for is like if you think something is funny about it, and then they say that thing, mm-hmm. then you kind of hit like. You hit a point where you're like, all right, well, some people definitely relate to this.
Yeah.
You know?
And for someone like you who, you know, does pretty good crowd work, you know, I think that, you know, you could get some really good some good feedback. You could probably go to, down a lot of avenues, especially since like your sets are a little, you know, longer. Yeah. You like to do a little bit longer sets, you know, just to kind of like move on and see where things go. And,
yeah.
you know, the improv thing, you could probably dig up a lot of cool things, you know, and just see what happens.
I think you're right.
You know, so that's,
a big source. That probably is like a really good source for getting material.
Yeah.
You're talking about.
Yeah. Or see, you can just be like, hey, someone shout something out or say a phrase, name something, and then just kind of see, you know, think about it for 10 seconds and then respond to that person.
Every now and again as a practice, I think you're right. I think you call somebody out, just pick a thing, and you got to learn how to riff.
Yeah.
As a comedian, you got to be able to riff. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is.
I think the first step to doing that is like getting comfortable.
Yeah.
On stage. Like a conversation with, you know, your regular friends.
We're getting to be pretty comfortable. I don't have a problem with... When I'm on stage, I don't have a problem at all.
Yeah.
But what the minutes leading up to getting on stage, I know, like, fuck, I gotta go get on stage. Mm-hmm. That is, like, a nerve destroyer for me. I don't know why. Like, the last week we were here, we all talked about it, and we're like, all right, who's gonna bring up who, and, like, how are we gonna work this out? And we, like, decided that I was gonna be the first one up. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's cool. But in my head, I was like, fuck. Why does this always happen? But really, like, it's not, it wasn't a problem. It's just like, that's just me in my head, I guess.
Is that better for you instead of you saying, okay, well, Ryan, you go last, and then you anticipate it real bad?
Yeah, fuck. Maybe I just need to get
We'll rotate it that way. I'll go first, then Stefan, then you can go last.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You want to try it that way and see how...
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter to me, I guess. Because that's the thing. If
you may
there,
find that it
over.
Destroys you, actually.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, you're right.
No, I think that's...
you should try it, though. You need to try it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a better motivator. Because if you see someone else perform, you just want to do as well or better. So you just like, I need to...
That little competition thing in your head. Although we've all, you know... I don't feel like we haven't formed a rivalry between each other.
No.
We just kind of hang out.
Yeah.
But I bet there's somebody waiting in the wings that's like, maybe he's seen us once or twice. He's like, destroy these
motherfuckers. I can do better than that guy. Well, fucking do it.
I could be. There were some dudes here last week that like saw the sign and they asked something about it, and you were like, oh yeah, we're hosting the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They walked by and they go,
what do you say?
Comedy night. I'm pretty funny, and they didn't realize I was standing there. I was like, yeah, it's an open mic. Y'all can sign up. And they just like, ah, ha, ha, and walked away. Like, no, just fucking sign up, you dick.
Come on. That's really what I want, is to just see somebody else do it.
Oh yeah.
And not somebody that we were talking about this. Not somebody that we know. Just somebody fucking random as shit. I just want somebody to pop out of the woodwork.
Cheetah Shine, holler.
Somebody's got to get in contact with Cheetah Shine. I guess I've met him. I'll be the one to do it. I'll find a way. He's got to have a Facebook page, and it's for sure not his legal name. He's definitely got a Facebook page with Cheetah Shine on it.
My second suggestion as an exercise for getting up-to-date material, new stuff... If we get in the habit of doing podcasts like this before the show, like we've done for the previous one, if we keep doing that, or anytime we do a podcast, really, but this is especially good because we go from right here to going on stage.
Yeah, we jump right into it.
We should take one thing out of what we talk about on the podcast and try to have something deliverable, you know, even if it's just a couple seconds, you know, try to score a laugh out of something, you know?
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
and we could
just a practice.
Yeah, and we could just pick something. Because, I mean, after you talk for an hour and a half or two with your friends, you know, you're going to laugh about at least one thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we come up with, like, at least three things that we think are kind of funny, and we just pick out, all right, you know, you say, I'm going to go take this, what we talked about with this upstage. All right, well, I'm going to take this one.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
That's just an idea. But
that's good thinking. Because it's pretty rare that I'm, like, sitting around, I'm just going to fucking hold the mic. This mic stand is like
looks a little wobbly.
He's got a problem.
You know, I bet if you put that notebook under it or something like that, it would prop it up if you wanted to keep it, because it looks like it's just.
You're comfortable with that? Do you need to reference this for a little while?
No, I don't need to touch it.
Okay. What the fuck was I gonna say? It probably wasn't anything of value anyway. What were you guys talking about?
Do you guys like to notes on your set? Do you like to, like, if someone's like, you know, I thought it was really funny when you said this, but maybe if you said that instead.
I haven't really had that.
Are you talking about feedback from people?
Yeah, from just people. I mean, I haven't had anybody say anything like that to me.
I'm open to it. I mean, I think that's how a lot of high-class writers get involved. Like, eventually they have a team of people, like all the late-night shows and stuff. So on the lowest possible level, I mean, it's just individual people or your friends just telling you, have you thought about doing that? Sometimes you can hit a vein and, like, who knows? I mean, if they think you're funny and they want you to be funnier and they do give you something that's funny, I mean, that's that you become a vessel for your teamwork together to bring on stage and, you know, say it. They get, and that person kind of gets to live it a little bit because they kind of like helped out, you know.
So I've had a lot of guys. Specifically, my friend's mom has found out that I do comedy, and she will every now and again be like, "Oh, you should do this on stage." For Christmas, she bought me glasses that have windshield wipers on them. She's like, "You got to wear these." I was like, "I don't think I can do that." Like, I don't know what kind of. What is that? I don't even have any like commentary on that. That's how flabbergasted I was. I think she just secretly is like trying to sabotage me and wants me to be a hack. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So like that kind of those kind of I wouldn't really want that kind of advice.
No.
Which I guess what I should have said was from other people who do comedy.
Yeah.
Because I do get a lot of people who are like, you should do that for your little comedy thing. Like, what you just said.
Two things I really hate now that people know I do comedy. One is that, you should do that for your little thing you do. Especially when they call it like a little thing.
A little thing.
Like, fuck, that's bullshit. And the next thing is I really don't like it when I like, announced that I call myself a comedian. Really, I work in a fucking kitchen. That's got nothing to do with it. But when
you're
I say
a kitchen
that,
comic.
Yeah, the first thing they do, the first thing dicks do is go say something funny. Like, how the fuck kind of setup is that?
Like, your mother.
I'm waiting on. None of us have been heckled.
No.
That's coming. Right?
You think
is anybody ready for that?
No, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
I got like a couple ideas in my head.
That's like asking, do you think people are going to talk to you one day?
Yeah.
And be too drunk or have something slightly negative or completely negative to say.
It's fucking
so angry. Yeah, it's coming. So get ready.
Yeah, I know it's coming. Especially
get your nunchucks.
We do this in bars. We're asking for it. Like we might as well put an ad out in the paper.
Yep.
You know, I had a girl the last week that we were here. She was obliterated and comes up to me and goes, I'm not going to... I hate when people say I'm not going to lie and say something that's not fucking worth lying about. She comes up, she's like, I'm not going to lie. A bunch of people have been asking me when I'm going to do my comedy. And I was like, when are you going to do your comedy?
Put me on that list of bunch of people.
And I was like, you know, this is an open mic, right? She's like, yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, you can't even talk. And she was like, she sees Lyle across from me and she says something to him and he's like, what? And she leans like her entire body over me. It's like really invaded my space. And she's like, she was like, my daddy's a biker and my mom is a hippie. I was like, why are you telling me this?
Maybe that's her routine.
Later on in the week I heard that, I was like, was she just like lying about her life and using the song Mississippi Queen like as or the basis for her life? Wait, no, that's not Mississippi Queen, right?
I wish you would have just run with it because I would have never known the difference.
Yeah, I could roll through that, but it's a Red Hot Chili Peppers thing, isn't it?
Danny California?
Yeah.
Papa was a copper and mama was a hippie.
Okay.
Well, you should change the story so that's what she says.
Fuck it. I'd say
because the Chili Peppers deserve the reference.
They do. They did well at the Super Bowl. They only got the one.
They were at
song.
The Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Still remember that time?
I didn't see the Super Bowl.
I know. Remember that time you said I told you that I spoiled the Super Bowl for you?
And I never went back and watched it. Well, I didn't realize. Then you told me the game was horrible and the score was what it was. And then I was like, not watching
it. It was
that.
Just a nightmare, man.
Oh, but you know, I should have seen the commercials.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not going to. That would be stupid if I watched the whole game just for the commercials and just fast forward through the game just so I could see the commercials.
Yeah.
Actually, it wouldn't be stupid. It'd be pretty time.
I hate when people become fans of the teams that are in the Super Bowl, like the week of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a Seahawks fan forever.
Since like last Thursday. Like,
oh, really? Then go fuck yourself, because I hate the Seahawks. They beat the Saints twice.
It happens. Other musical news. Another thing I did not see, the Grammys. Did you guys see the Grammys at all? Grammys.
No, I heard a little bit about it, but I didn't see them.
All I heard was at the end, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, Queens of the Stone Age, Dave Grohl, and a girl named Buckingham. They were all doing a performance together to close out the thing, and they cut to a commercial in the middle of their in the middle of their set. And Trent Reznor flipped out and like angrily tweeted the next day, like, "What the hell?"
Did they come back like at the end of the performance?
Who, the band?
No,
the Grammys.
The coverage or whatever.
It ended.
That was it. They just like cut it.
That was the show. And they said Trent Reznor was especially pissed because people in the audience started leaving when they did the cut to the commercials, and they were just they got up and like left like halfway through.
Like, what the fuck?
I mean, Queens of the Stone Age, Dave Grohl, Trent Reznor, and I don't know the other girl, but I bet she was good.
How many
she was
shitty
with
people
that
were
whole
in that
crew.
Audience. I'm like, well, we're done here. Are we not going to be on TV anymore? No? It's done. All right, let's get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got that thing playing, but whatever. We'll fucking. It'll
you
be.
See
our...
my earrings? You see my earrings? My dress? Done? Got it?
We're good?
Okay, we're going.
Ugh. That was an experience. Let's go see if somebody wants to interview me. Fucking cunts.
How was that? How was that Wendy's you just demolished?
I don't know, dude. I'm self-conscious about eating on the mic.
They
because I can hear everything.
There's a new company that just came around.
I'm checking
and they,
out for a
they
second.
Give salad. They put salads in vending machines, and it's like high quality stuff. Like it's not just some like rinky dink stuff. It's called Farmer's Fridge, and they sell salads, fruits, vegetables, and yogurts in recyclable packages.
Do you hear how loud this is?
They can't. It's not that bad.
Oh, no.
But vegetables and yogurts, and they sell them all in recyclable packages. And it was a big hit in Chicago where it took off. It's already got a 5-star Yelp rating.
Holy shit.
And they make the food fresh every day in a nearby kitchen, deliver it, and then whatever is not eaten, they donate it to a food kitchen at the end of the day.
Cool.
Yeah. And they said it's a big hit. Salads start at like $8, and then some have protein with tuna and, you know, accessories and all this kind of stuff.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, now you don't really have an excuse to not eat healthy when you're out, you know?
You do, because that's only in Chicago right now.
Oh, I gotta listen more, man.
No, I actually
tune in.
No, I actually I thought the same thing. I was like, where is this? Like, when is it coming? Yeah. And then I heard Chicago and I was like, oh, super major city of the US. Like, it'll be a while. The fact that they make it every day in a kitchen nearby and then restock it, I mean, and they showed a picture, they were set up next to a McDonald's in a mall or whatever, and they said that like their stock sometimes has to be refilled during lunch because it goes so quickly, you know.
That's pretty cool.
That is very cool. I hope they...
Mississippi is going to take a while to get on that bandwagon, I think.
It might be a second.
Like last.
We're not the fattest state anymore, are we?
No?
I don't think so.
Really?
I've heard...
I thought we...
What are, like, how long are we going to be reigning over that title, you know?
You mean it's got to be either Alabama or Texas?
Yeah, I think so. But somebody told that to
unless
me.
We just pick,
wrong.
Unless we scoop up Mexico and take it for ourselves.
That would be a real son of a bitch. That's not like a great statistic.
Fattest state?
Fattest, dumbest motherfuckers on the planet.
It's not the It's planet. Like the worst the, statistic.
Just this continent. Well, we're not the... Are we the dumbest?
Yeah. I think so.
Shit.
It's
Yeah, I'm uninformed.
It's always either us or Alabama competing for the worst categories.
The worst football fans apparently all reside in Alabama, and I guess around us, they've spawned...
Mississippi's pretty serious about
it, too. I know,
we're
pretty bad, too, but God damn it, I hate hearing Roll Tide.
That's, I mean, look at our states.
I really don't like
They're
it.
Back-to-back. They don't even want to look
we
at each other. They're
like,
so angry at each other
like
all
Bart
the time.
Bart Simpson had a clone, and now they're pissed at each other.
Yeah. I heard this interesting little piece recently. You guys ever play a game called Flappy Bird?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I played it.
You know, it's getting pulled.
It sucks. Yeah, the guy you heard.
Well, it's very difficult. It looks like.
Yeah, it is. It's super hard, but I don't like it.
The fuck is Flappy Bird?
It's basically a Mario style looking thing. The fish. It's a fish, the flying
it's
fish.
It's like a bird, but it's it looks like a Super Nintendo Mario game.
Yeah, there's pipes, and they vertical pipes. There's one at the top and one at the bottom, and they form a small little gap that you have to fly the bird through by tapping your screen. Yeah. So it'll fall, you tap it, and it'll lift up a little bit, and you just do that. Like, it sucks at flying, and you have to get it through all these kinds of things. There's been tons of other games that are similar to it.
Yeah.
But apparently this one was just like very popular. It was bringing in over $50,000 a day, reportedly.
Okay, so why are they
pulling
it? From
its success. Because Dong Nguyen, who's the Vietnamese creator of the game, he started tweeting some stuff just like, I'm pulling the game. I can't take it anymore. It's nothing about legal issues. I just lead a very simple life in this game, and everything that has resulted from it has made my life complicated, and it's kind of a curse to my life, and I want to keep making video games, but I do not wish it for it to be what it is now.
Yeah, because he was getting a lot of shit for it looking like he pretty much took the Mario thing, like the pipes, and then he was getting a lot of shit for that.
What a pussy.
But then I heard he wasn't like, he didn't ever attend to like, for it to get as big as it did. It was just to like, kind of like, you know, let me just see if I can do it. And he put it on.
Well, I guess not a pussy then.
Made $50,000 a day.
Poor fella.
Yeah, I
poor
know.
Don.
I mean, who cares really if he used that layout? He could have picked anything he wanted. He just wanted to do something that was traditional that video game fans would respect, you know, because Mario.
He may just be like a big Mario fan, you know, and influenced him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, definitely if that's the design he went with, for sure. But, I mean, everybody's referencing Mario. Mario's probably like the number one, you'd say. Like, most referenced video game creation ever, probably. I mean, it's top five for sure.
Definitely one of the most famous, iconic games of all time, yeah.
Exactly.
Mario franchise.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's as recognizable as Tetris. And Tetris is just a basic little thing, you know? I mean, Mario's the original
Tetris
platformer
has
almost.
Legs. So Tetris really has legs.
It does.
They they really got that thing going.
Something
so simple, man.
Can't believe he killed Flappy
Bird.
Also
a stolen game.
What
is? Somebody stole it? Yeah, it's stolen.
From Russia?
I think so, yeah.
I made that up. But
no, I think I heard that. That's weird.
Is it Russia?
I think they stole it from some like game developer over there and just like, that was back in the 80s, right? When licensing was a little different. So they just took it.
Like there wasn't one.
Yeah, nobody cared.
Video games were new. They were just like, we're taking this.
I would say they showed up and like, this is ours now. But really, they probably like, nobody's going to find out about this shit for a while.
They didn't tell anyone. They just took it.
Let's just get this thing off the ground as quick as we can. We'll just kill that one dude.
I really like that Super Nintendo game called Tetris Attacks. Y'all ever play that?
No, what's that?
It's different where the board is set and then you just flip around tiles to make lines. It was pretty cool. Puzzle game from when I was a kid. Played the shit out of that.
I don't think I like those like quick puzzle games. Like I like the only game that I think is like a puzzle is based on puzzles, I guess, is like Zelda. I was like a huge fan of Zelda.
Dude, I still love it.
Yeah.
Got the new one.
What is the newest one now?
Damn it, what's the name of it?
Is it a Skyward thing?
No. The one for the 3DS.
DS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I've seen that.
I need to get Skyward Sword. But the other one's good too.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I know they came, well, I guess the Wii U's been out for like a year or something. Well, a little while.
Yeah, it's been out for a little while.
They gotta be coming with one they're going to be coming with one pretty soon for that. I want them to go back to like, you know what I really want is something that's comparable, however you're really supposed to say, I don't know, to Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Because that was, maybe it's just because like my age, but that's the one that hit me that like got me hooked into the series.
Oh yeah, a lot of people say that's the best one.
Yeah.
It's arguable, you know.
I would say it's the best, personally.
That was like the first game I'd seen. I used to be I used to check out this website all the time to like figure out what games I wanted to buy. And it was a GameStop or GameSpot, rather.
Yeah, GameSpot.
And it was like the first one I'd ever seen that had a perfect 10.
Yeah.
Like, and that's pretty serious shit, I think, because video game people are like snobs, you know? They really know what they like, and they like that shit, you know? That, and I don't even know what other games are 10s, to be honest.
I can't think of any. I like Super Metroid. My favorite system is Super Nintendo. I never got into Metroid. No? No. Just the Super Nintendo one. The ones for the GameCube weren't that good, but then it was like a first-person shooter more than a side-scroller.
You guys need to get on Payday 2.
I don't know anything about that game.
You don't do online stuff, Daniel.
No, I don't play with people.
Yeah. Man. That's like half the fun right there. Actually, it's most of the fun.
That is the way to go for sure. Yeah. You get on that.
I'm playing Diablo 3 right now.
No, you're not. Just by you don't play online, though.
Just by myself.
Damn, dude.
Dude, I'm so deep into Borderlands, it's not funny.
Yeah.
I got the Siren or whatever. I got 62. Ooh, 63. Fuck that.
Nah, that's pretty high.
I'm on my way.
Damn.
It's just a time consumer. And then I bought GTA from Stefan. Yeah. I got into that.
Do you like it?
Oh, yeah. Because I always like the Grand Theft Auto games. But this one's like, it satisfies my Grand Theft Auto needs.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Definitely hits the spot.
Yeah, for sure.
I text this kid the other day. I was like, hey, man, you want to go to the racquetball courts today? And he's like, I may have to clear my schedule. I'm trading stocks on Grand Theft Auto right now. I was like, you son of a...
It's pretty important. Good way to make money.
I saw that, and I was like, in the game, a guy that you've done like a mission for text you. You have a phone. You get texts and call and emails and shit. And he's like, here's the website for online trading. And I was like, that shit's not in the game. And it is. And you got to watch your stocks. And sometimes you're going to take a loss, you know, but that's Wall Street or whatever generic name they put in the game to not get sued.
How far into the game are you?
I don't know a percentage. I have to look.
What was the last, like, story thing you did?
It's been like a day or two since I played it. Who's the redneck dude, or like the crazy meth guy?
Trevor.
I've got Trevor over into Los Santos, and we just got the main guy's daughter from like this show that she wants to be on. It's like American Idol or America's Got Talent or something. And she's just like dancing around in like a bra or some shit. It's really dumb. But I think that's where I left off.
Yeah.
I haven't picked it back up since. No, I went on. I did a mission with Trevor, and he like, you get like disguised and go work in like a shipyard, and I had to like stack big crates and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're
talking
about.
That's where I'm at. They put shit like that in Grand Theft Auto, like little, like real life simulation things.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for me.
Yeah, it's a really that game is really funny, man. But Borderlands, both of you have to play Borderlands with me is the point, because it's like really based into co-op stuff. You don't have to do that, but
yeah,
you know,
it's more fun that way.
Yeah, it definitely is. And like apparently it's like a humongous, that was weird, it's like a humongous selling game, like a huge hit, and they haven't announced the third one yet, but you gotta assume they're gonna, because it's like their blockbuster game.
Yeah.
And I want to see what happens with that, because this one is so damn deep. Like, I think their big draw is they have like just a stupid amount of like different guns,
over a bazillion or something.
Something like that. And I don't even get how that's possible, but
well, it's just like
it's randomly generated.
Yeah, they all have different attributes, and we got like 6 gun makers, and each one has a
yeah.
Anyways,
cool shit though.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it.
Dude, I'm going to be forced to get an Xbox One. I know we talked about this before, but I need it.
Oh, for the UFC game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I can't not have it. You don't understand. I played the third one, which was made by THQ, and they fucked it. They fucked everybody. I was going to say they fucked me, but that would be selfish. They fucked every UFC fan that bought that game.
Wasn't that good?
It was good. Like, it was pretty good. Like, a lot of people have complaints about it, like, because he's sort of like skating over the mat. Mm-hmm. Like, your foot doesn't really plan, I guess, or whatever. But you could throw leg kicks and break legs, and you could check leg kicks, and that would break their leg. And that was, like, a big, like, upgrade they'd had. And, like, they released this thing. You know how some games, well, you don't play online, but they'll have a thing called, like, a season pass. And all the downloadable content that comes out you'll just get, like, you've already paid for it, and you'll get it at, like, a discount. I got that. And, like, a month or two later, probably I had, like, 500 fights. Like, just got deep, deep into this game and had, like, a record of, like, 300 and something and fucking whatever losses.
Yeah.
And then I hear that EA has bought the rights to the UFC, and they shut down the THQ game that I'd spent all this, like, money and time on.
Yeah.
And all the DLC they were going to come out with, they didn't, because the company, like, pretty much shut down. Like, THQ is done.
Yeah.
From what I understand. And I was really upset about that. And they didn't even, like, leave the servers on, so you can't play anymore. Now it's not online.
Just single player?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks.
And that's not fun. No, you know?
Yeah.
That was the whole point, is to kick somebody's ass across the world or fucking down the street, whatever bullshit. But they took that away from me. I'm really pissed. And I'm like, oh, EA. But I was excited, too, because I knew EA Sports is, like, where with sports games, that's pretty much where it's at. Like, Madden, the NBA games.
Well, see,
and then Fight Night. The Fight Night team is the one who's doing this with EA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the UFC. Which means, like, it's definitely going to be, like, the best UFC game there's been, for sure. But, of course, then I found out it's only available for the new generation systems. Yeah. So,
I'm not a huge fan of, like, one company having rights to something like the NFL or the UFC. You know, because
the NFL's had that for a couple of years.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like they should have multiple developers being able to make it, and the best one should win.
Yeah,
you know?
It creates, you know, it creates better games.
Yeah, some. Yeah, I mean, you might want
competition.
Yeah, everybody wants something different. Why can't they get it from a different developer? But whatever.
Hey, man, EA is trying to get that monopoly money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Trying to get that mustache on.
Because other venues mean that there are going to be holes in the revenue stream.
Yep, exactly.
And they don't want that. So
they don't play that shit, and they got a lot of money. So if they can buy something, they'll do it in a heartbeat. I'm glad that they're making this game, but I'm pissed that I got to buy that. Because that Xbox is no joke. It's expensive, man. It's hard to let go of that much money at once.
When's the game supposed to come out?
It's the first quarter of this year, so I guess before April.
Yeah, okay. I was just wondering, because if it was a while away, it might go down a little bit.
Yeah.
But
probably. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for, is a price drop, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I heard the other day that they were going to come out with an Xbox that didn't have a disc drive, just like a big hard drive, and you could download games on it.
Okay.
And it was going to be like $100 less. Only to find out today that that's a fucking hoax. That's the words that my friend used, was it's a hoax.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, shit, I've been hoodwinked. They got me.
Why would that be a hoax, though? Like, that's a good idea, and it's totally possible.
They're not making it.
I know.
Or it's not in production now.
I know, but why wouldn't they? It's very possible to do, and I would think that would be super easy to do with today's given technology.
Well, what's the point anymore of having discs?
No, there is no point.
It's what you don't have online right now.
That's another thing that drives prices, though. Like, if you think about it.
You nailed it. That was
because, that is true, too, I guess. But who doesn't have access to online? If you, or rather, a source to plug in your online. Like, let's say, instead of going to, what's a video game place where you would go to pick up a physical?
Like GameStop.
GameStop, okay. So you go to GameStop. And instead of going in to buy a physical CD, you don't play online. Let's say Daniel here doesn't play online, so he can't access such and such to download. Whereas, you know, me or you, we can get online, we can download it. Daniel doesn't. So, and let's take it to the extreme. Let's say Daniel doesn't have even internet at his home, okay? This is why he's got to go to GameStop to get his disc. Instead of going there and picking up a physical disc, why don't they just provide him with high-speed Wi-Fi? He comes in free of charge, and or maybe like they make a $2 commission on the download fee, and Daniel pays for the new UFC game, which would normally run $60 because it's made of a physical property, and it has to be shipped, so there's middlemen. Then GameStop has to sell it and make a profit on it as well. Well, instead of doing all that, why doesn't he just go to GameStop and they download it for him right there for $30? And then with maybe like a $2 to $5 fee for GameStop or whatever, and then he's got the game. Meanwhile, me and you can just stay at home because we have Wi-Fi.
The comfort of our own homes.
And download it to our big hard drive that is now on that. Like, you don't, you know, and people.
I don't know that we'll see that big of a price drop. Right. Even though they're cutting out all that overhead.
Right.
They're greedy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're
going
to try to get everything. We'll see. We'll probably see some drop.
If you have a model established for any given market,
yeah.
for any given business, and then you've grown it to be such a big thing the system is working, the structure you've created around it. If it's working, you want to squeeze as much as you can out of it before things absolutely have to change. Like before, you know, things will start changing and then it'll become possible to change, but people are going to try to squeeze it a little bit more and go a little bit further. And if you're a company like EA, if you're one of the major heads, figures of an industry, you can choose to prolong it because everybody else is out of, if you've, you know, really put everybody else out of its place. Indie developers are not going to be the ones who are going to have the ability to just turn things and make it a downloadable model instead of versus a physical thing as it is now.
Yeah.
So it'll keep going for a couple years. You know, this console that we have now, the new consoles that we're going in, will be the last generation of video game entertainment systems that take
that
approach.
Disc drives. Yeah.
Right, because people from the last generation of consoles are already doing what we're talking about. They already, you know, started getting towards the mid to end of that lifespan, getting hard drives that were very big and using online-based methods to download big games. You can download the biggest one's probably Grand Theft Auto 5, yeah. I would think. And you can download that. You don't need a disc. You can put it right on, you know, from what I understand. You can put it right onto a hard drive.
I have a disc.
And it actually runs faster.
Yeah, that's true. I had the disc and I had to download, thank God I had a jump drive because I have like one of the small Xbox,
so
small gigs. And it took 8 gigabytes to download, I don't even know what I downloaded. They're just like, you need this to play.
The map, I think.
Yeah, it must be really like that big.
Yeah, because I mean, if you didn't have to download it, there'd be so many loading screens. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's one thing that I have noticed is that there's not any loading screens really.
Yeah, that's why they did it where you have to download a lot of it onto your
hard
drive.
And that works so much better, especially
with
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, with a game like that, because once, just if you're driving down the interstate and a loading screen pops up, it's going to kill it.
I don't know if we've discussed this on the podcast before. Now, I guess it doesn't really matter. I just know I have a friend that works at GameStop, and she, when the game came out, she was selling the game to all these people, and like these parents would come in with like their 8-year-old kids, like young kids, and she, like, they'd be trying to buy the game. She'd go, "You can't, like, is this for him? He can't have this.
Yeah.
This is too mature for him." She's like, no, it's fine. He plays game. He plays all kinds of stuff, like Halo and Call of Duty. It's fine. Lady, this is not anything. Look, I'm just going to cut right to the chase. You can smoke meth and have sex with hookers in this game. And the good parents were like, "What? No, no, we're not doing this. You're getting Animal Crossing." And I guess the bad ones are just like, "Fuck, he's broken.
Doesn't,
he's broken already.
Doesn't
There's
matter.
Not. He ain't getting better.
I'm trying to make another shitty person. Let me do it."
That's in terms of like shit that you can see in video games, Grand Theft Auto was up there.
Yeah,
like it was fucked up back in the day, and even just this past game. It's way worse than it's ever been now, I think.
Have you seen the torture part yet?
No.
You heard about it? No.
No.
Oh, yeah. That took a lot of heat the day it released.
Torture?
There's some torture.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get to it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I would think that like when your kid is at that threshold where you're not really sure if they should be getting certain kind of games or if they shouldn't. You know, if you're unsure about it as a parent, you know, you can just hop online and watch a 3-minute review and watch gameplay and commentary on it and get an idea. Like,
but a lot of parents don't put in the 3 minutes.
Right, because there are some in games where it's just, you know, first-person shooter violence and it's the graphics make it look very good. But, you know, a lot of people are kind of deconditioned to, like, just shooting people up and stuff like that. It's
Do
not
you think
that
kids
serious.
Should be able to play Call of Duty? Like, young kids?
How old are we talking about?
Let's call it 10.
That's like that's right at the threshold.
Yeah. That's where you. But
you
make
talk about eight for sure. No, right?
No, definitely not.
No, I would say about 10 is when you would start.
I think Call of Duty, I'd go like 13, 14.
I think I was playing. I mean, Halo it's rated T, like 12.
Isn't it?
Is it? I don't. I
Call of Duty.
I thought it was rated
M.
No, like, it's M.
M.
Oh, okay.
It's got to be, right?
Well, they use strong language as well. So that would maybe be,
Yeah.
Then in that case, I would say maybe 13, 15, seeing...
Halo doesn't use strong language, if I'm not mistaken.
Not that I'm aware of.
They're an M game, right?
Yeah, they got blood and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it's...
Intense sci-fi action.
That's, you know, an intensity level.
Yeah. Halo ain't that serious. You
gotta keep that sci-fi away from the kids.
I remember when I was a kid and I had Mortal Kombat, my mom made me turn off the blood and the gore. Which was stupid. When you did a fatality, you would just punch him and they'd fall over. It's supposed to be ripping his fucking head off. What's wrong with this damn game?
Supposed to be ripping his spine out of his body and then cutting him up with it. Damn it, Mom. What'd you say?
There was one
game. I said, duck, God, darn it.
Perfect Dark was rated M, and they had an interesting filter system in which you could... Most games, you can usually take off the blood if you wanted to. And this... The Perfect Dark went a step further because they had a language filter, and it was really weird how it worked in the game, because it just, the audio from their outbursts of what they would say would sometimes be kind of like off. You could tell it was filtered, or they wouldn't say anything. But that's how I got my mom to let me play that game, is because I was like, look, there's a language filter, and she didn't like particularly nasty language or hearing it. So I was like, well, look, you can put a language filter on it. And she was like, oh, cool. So anytime I got other games that were M that I wanted to play, I'd just be like, I can turn the language filter on and turn the blood off, and she'd be all right with it. Meanwhile, there were no other games that I ever found that had a language filter that I'm
aware
of.
There was no protection.
Yeah. There's
so I took the language and I took the blood, and my mom was fine for it. That's how I got by, you know, 15, 14 years old.
She used to do sneaky shit like that to get around our parents, letting us do stuff, right? I'd lie about stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, well, I knew if it wasn't...
Whatever it took, you know?
I kind of had to make a judgment call, because my mom's not going to sit there and watch me, like, play the game and, like, let me explain, like, this is not as bad in this particular case. You know, I don't have... So I'm just going to, you know, tell her, like, I'm just going to cut and go ahead and make work easier for all of us.
How many times did something like that turn into, like, a court case between you and your parents? And you had to, like, give a presentation?
Zero.
All right. I got upwards of 10 for sure. You know? I had to, like, really walk them through this and be like, no, this is fine. And here are some bullet points. I put together this PowerPoint. And I still don't know how to do PowerPoint, so that's why.
So I made this drawing. So it's just a terrible drawing that 12-year-old Ryan drew.
As you can see, the line has gone up.
It's like a guy laying some red crayon like around him, his blood. And Ryan's like, this is the worst that
it
gets,
Your Honor.
This is
about as bad as it's going to get.
Your Honor, this is, like, if you can imagine this, but, like, better drawn and, like, a digital video, like, that's as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
And the judge is like, why is your 12-year-old son smarter than you? And your parents are just like... We didn't know it wasn't that serious, Your Honor.
You know how many times I've been caught in a lie about a video game?
This
and
is why.
Like, what the hell is going on? And I'm just like, ew.
This is why our court systems are backed up. You come in here with your kid. You're not prepared. You don't know the game content. It goes to Ryan.
And thank you, Your Honor. Thank you for your time.
Boom.
Boom. And I'm out like a fucking ghost.
Speaking of ghosts, I finally made the jump this week. I've begun American Horror Story.
Oh, okay, shit. You started the beginning.
I've heard a lot of good things.
The pilot got me intrigued. I thought, you know, as I was going through, I was like, man, I probably won't really follow through with this, but I want to see the second episode. So it was good. It was the way it shot, and all the little things that they established at the very beginning of the pilot that made me curious to know what's going to come next. They had a lot of characters they brought in, a lot of interesting angles, a lot of asides that could develop into something interesting. So good acting, strong acting from the two main characters, and some other things that I won't go into detail about, but
I've heard good things.
Yeah, I've heard people tell me, like, I really need to watch that.
Yeah.
Another thing is Game of Thrones.
Yes, that's another one.
Apparently everybody is so deep into this, and I don't.
I love Game of Thrones. But that's, like, right up my alley, that fantasy kind of deal.
Yeah, and I'm sort of on that level too. I just I saw the first episode, I think I, like, fell asleep.
Yeah,
like, it was just really late when we started watching it. But my friend was like, no, dude, this is going to change your life. It, like,
it gets more intense real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the first couple episodes, but I've yet to continue with it. Of course, I don't have an outlet to continue it. So
you got
to find somewhere to watch it online illegally.
Yeah, I'm not into that. I would rather just...
What, piracy?
Yeah.
You don't download it, just stream it.
You don't want to be a pirate?
It's not stealing. It's like watching a YouTube video.
Yeah, but a lot of those servers that you go to, they can... A lot of them try to breach your security sometimes.
Yeah, I guess.
Probably shouldn't say this on the internet, but the UFC's probably fucking after me. I've streamed a lot of events.
Yeah.
Because $60 is ludicrous.
That's a shit ton of money.
You know, I ain't going to do that. I've seen a lot of fights. This is so fucking dumb. But I've seen a lot of fights on my computer and been like, I wouldn't have paid $60 for that.
No, worth the 60.
That was a waste. That was a bad call by the ref.
Do you guys watch Walking Dead at all?
Walking Dead was on last night.
Just came back.
I've seen like a couple episodes, but didn't start from the beginning, so I was a little bit lost.
Yeah.
And I walked, I was like, man, I'm going to go home. They're like, but The Walking Dead's on. I was like, I don't even know who that guy is. And it seems like there's a thing going on, but I'm out.
I'm obsessed. I like watched the show. It went on a break, and then I read all the comics. Like all 120 issues.
Apparently there's been one before, but I saw a commercial for another video game for that Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they're coming out with the second one now.
I think they called it season two.
Yeah.
Does that follow the line of season two?
No, it's different. Season two is like the second chapter. I think it's a downloadable game.
Okay.
And it's not too long, but it's a continuation of a side story.
I'm feeling gassy right now, and I don't know if I've told you guys this, but I am going to do this. I'm going to have to get my own mic, but I want to do...
No, you're not. Are you?
Not tonight, no. But hopefully never. I got to be like... If somebody's paying me to do it, I'll probably do it. And if they want to like not pay me after that, then that's cool.
You're just going
to
do it, or is this going to be worked in artistically?
No, there's no. This is not art, first of all. This is fart. I really want to... Okay, just so everybody knows what I'm talking about, I want to... I don't know if I'm going to open with this or whatever, but I'm going to be like, I don't want to sound like an asshole, and I'm going to fart in the microphone.
Or like, well, that's kind of artistic.
I don't want to sound like an asshole, but...
I'm trying to help you out here. I think you got something.
See, that's killing you. See, I know that's so funny.
I don't even know how I would fucking respond if I saw that.
I'm going to do that.
I'd laugh.
I know when I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that when I'm like in a panic. I'm going to be in like a terrible set, and it's just like, this is how I'm getting out of here. And I'm going to I might even, since I've farted on it, I might as well drop the mic and be like, I'm out of here. You know, that seems satisfying in my head.
I have some fart material.
But I'm so sure that would kill. You know, yeah. I don't want to sound like an asshole, but, you know,
it's gonna that's be well good timed. Stuff. It's going to be a good one, too. You can't.
Yeah. You got to feel it in your gut, though.
You know, it'd be really funny, like, not to me at the moment, but to me, like, a day later, is if nobody responds. If nobody laughs, everybody's just like, oh, my.
Or just nobody responds, but Stefan and I are dying in the back.
Yeah.
You know it's fucking coming.
Yeah. I like that. I like when, like, one guy laughs at a joke.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, that's sometimes more satisfying to me than, like, the whole crowd. Unless, like, if I don't know the guy and he laughs and it's just the one guy, then it's great.
Yeah.
You know, because I knew I got one. That's all I needed.
This has given me an idea to stage something where somebody says a really terrible joke and then another one of us is in the crowd, or we get somebody to be in the crowd and like nobody laughs, but this one person, his cue will be to laugh hysterically into a heart attack, and then you just play off that. I don't know where it goes, but there's the root of it.
I think the buck stops there, and then we gotta stop the show and call an ambulance. You can't riff on a guy dying.
Hey man, if it's planned, you'd be surprised.
Hey man, it's art. Can't judge it.
Tell the bartender not to call the hospital, and you'll take it from there.
Some guy like, why aren't you calling? You told me not to. What kind of fucked up kind of scenario is this?
Maybe be like, if none of you laugh, that's all going to happen to you.
Ooh.
Get ready for that. Well, then it might get dark in your... Yeah, then it might
fuck
get...
It, man. It's that, going dark. It's when, going dark.
That's when you say, I don't mean to sound like an asshole, and you run.
I'm out of here, everybody. Ryan Vance Guy, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you next week.
Hey, can you go check to see if they're like set up down there or whatever? Yeah. All right.
I was just thinking, you know, you ever hear the phrase like a comedian gets done with set and goes, "All right, thanks everybody, I'll be here all week." Uh-huh. What would you do if you had to play a room for a week straight? Would that bother you at all? I mean, like, do you think that you'd have to have, like, a huge block of material to go through a week? Or would you, like, do the same set you did on Monday on, like, a Friday and mix in between?
First of all, I guess you'd have to judge it based on... So you're saying an entire week, like 7 days?
I guess
days?
So, but don't you hear that? Have you never
heard
people
but
say
a lot
that?
Of a lot of places just do like a Thursday, a Friday show, and then a Saturday, Sunday show.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they mean.
Yeah, unless you're doing Vegas, then maybe. But even that,
yeah,
I mean,
I
it's still...
I would want to do that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does that. Nobody there might be a few people.
That.
But if you're talking about 4 days of... that's what I would think is about reasonable. Because a lot of
that
people...
That little weekend block.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday if you're doing real thing. Thursday's just kind of for a side act or whatever like that. Someone coming up doing good material, just kind of making a Thursday show.
Right.
But for a 3 or 4 block, 3 or 4 day block, I wouldn't. Because I've done a new stuff every time that I've gone up so far. Maybe besides a couple... like I think tonight I'm going to use a one liner just throw it in there because it fits in with what's going. Hey man, what's going on? Hey,
what's up, brother?
Hey, do you want a mic?
I want to announce the readiness of the bar. Literally zero people are in there.
That's okay because that's how it was last time.
The one bartender.
Uh huh.
And the guy, I was like, so is we gonna do it in like the corner set up or anything? He goes, no, RJ might be here, but I don't know. You think RJ's gonna be here? No, RJ ain't gonna be here. Do y'all know how to do this? I don't. We might be able to figure it out. We'll call him. He can walk you through it. So
okay. I buy that.
Fuck, I guess we'll make it. But
yeah, we'll make it.
What time is it?
It's 7:22. Yeah, man, grab some.
Maybe people will start piling in around 8.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Slade has entered the building. Cue the song, Lay Down the Law. I've always wanted to play that song for you. Lay Down the Law. Greg's going to lay down the law. It's by G-Love and Special Sauce. You like?
You get it in post.
I have not heard it.
Do you know who G-Love and Special Sauce is?
I do not.
Okay, they're a two-piece kind of blues.
You're going to pick this up.
Yes, go ahead. But no, I'm going to send it to you. And it's Greg's going to lay down the law. You know who G-Love and Special Sauce is, Ryan?
You know, you
damn it. Okay, I'll just stop here because I'll play it to you after we get done. Great song. Everybody go listen to it. That's what I'm trying to get at here.
You could just get that in the post and just insert that.
Yeah.
We don't even need to have this conversation, no.
Dude, I'm writing some things down right here. Lay down the law. Greg, you getting on tonight?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Both of you got microphones. You don't have to bless me. Don't worry about it.
I'm not into blessing. I don't expect it for myself, and I don't ask for it, and I don't do it either. It's kind of like my birthday.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to that stuff anymore. So I don't expect anybody to expect me to say something to them about it, unless you're like my family or just, you know what I'm saying? I'm just not concerned about birthdays.
Right.
Not at the age I am now. All y'all's age, you know? If I catch it, I'll tell you so. You know?
Okay.
You might get an early one or a late one.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm like,
day
hey.
Day of, the best shot you got's Facebook.
Yeah, that's true, and I don't even check that stuff, you know?
I've sometimes
not
never
a lot.
Posted mine seen people's birthdays.
Yeah,
I don't
have mine on there.
Find
who
out
cares?
Who your friends are.
Yeah, exactly. Get to know... someone challenged me when this was in the days of maybe like a Facebook being a, you know, like I'm 5 years into Facebook, 3 or 5 years into Facebook, something like that. Not 4. I don't want 4. 3 or 5, okay? So I had, you know, I was doing like rookie Facebook stuff. I had like all... just like way more than anybody needs. You're like, yeah, I want people to know like exactly. And then a friend of mine, we were out at a bar or something like one time, and he there was this person he was introducing me to, and he's like, hey, introduce yourself to this guy, tell him one thing about yourself that's not on your Facebook. And that was a hard conversation to pull. It did not go smooth, and it just made me think. I was like, man, Facebook is dumb. Like, now, you know what I'm saying? It's like you got all your stuff out there, and then you go to sit down and have a chat with somebody, and it's like you're looking to pull, like, what is about you besides what's on your digital page?
You know what?
You know?
They know everything about you already.
I bet you this next generation of kids is going to think Facebook is lame as shit.
Well, probably. I mean, that's just the speed of the internet, though. That's how things develop and go away quickly. Some would argue it's a good thing, but some would argue it's just a device for quick evolutionary processes to go in and out. You know, there's so much feedback. You can hit a like or you can comment, and anybody in the world who has access to it can do it. I mean, it's going to move so quickly in terms of ideas and things that just work and what don't, because the whole world's in on it.
Right.
You know, so
a like is such bullshit. You know, to like a thing is kind of like dumb. Like I do it, and we all do it, but. Like I had a whole bit about that.
It's effective feedback. What can you say?
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's sort of like a retweet. To me, it's just like, oh, hey, this guy said this. Now you can see that he said that if he didn't.
Yeah.
If you weren't friends with him.
Yeah.
Some people abuse it, though. The ones that are like this to support our troops or ignore if you want to go to hell.
Yeah, have you seen the pictures of dudes
that are all for babies being awarded?
I'll get a car if I get 1 million or 2 million likes or something. Like, they just hold up a sign.
Yeah, I'm going to drop this new shit right here if I get 1,000 likes. I'm not interested, thanks.
Right, I'm not really worried about that new shit right there.
Follow me, I'll follow back.
Really? That seems like a sketchy way to make friends.
Isn't it?
I don't know you, but I like what you got going on there.
I like your aggressive stance of communication.
Sub for sub on YouTube. That's how I roll.
I don't get that.
3 subscribers.
I don't think people should be following me on Twitter. I'm not saying anything of value. You know? I'm not like, if I'm hyping a show, it's this one. It's just this one. You know, there's not that much good shit going on my Twitter. I just follow fucking people that I want to hear talk. You know?
When Twitter first came out, I did not know how to use it, so I deleted it. I think. And here I am.
And here we are today.
Perfect.
And that's my life.
Could be out there somewhere. Just a piece of my soul, just like out there and about. I haven't closed it down, haven't brought it back in.
Sorry. I was going to say my cousin's on Twitter and he's the bodybuilder guy. And I guess there's like a community of those people that like to follow each other on Twitter and stuff.
They do.
Yeah. And he tells me, he's like, I commented on something. And he's like, man, you got to get some followers. And I was like, I have like 7. And I was like, dude, no, I don't. Nobody needs to hear what I'm saying. There's nothing good going on here. You're over here showing people pictures of your tits. I call them tits. But he's
well, that's an interesting.
Rocking the moobs, the man boobs.
The followings that you can get from like online stuff, that's another crazy thing about the internet. Do y'all know what the Toyota FRS is that just came out?
I heard of that.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
It's the it's like Toyota's new sports car that developed. It's like under 30K, and it's like, I want to say its turning or its center of gravity is like comparable to a Lamborghini and a Lotus or something like that. Wow. Like, it's like third in line. And those cars are way more expensive than that. So, one of my relatives got one, and he's souped it up. To race. Wow. He's gutted it, modified it so that it weighs, his car weighs less than 2,400 pounds.
Holy hell.
It is ridiculous. Yeah, he's modified it so much. And he goes, he was away from home for a long time, and he didn't have a lot to do where he was at, so he started going online because that was his way of communicating and being a part of something outside of his job. And he met all these people. He just went into forums, car forums, and, you know, all this stuff. Got his car, came back, fixed it all up and all this stuff. And he's already done 1 or 2 car meetups of people with similar cars. And he's doing another one in the near future. And they're all going to come down and they're all going to do a big drive and take pictures of, like, hundreds of cars or whatever.
Community.
He's got people coming down from, like, Manhattan or something New York. To meet up, and that it all originated from the internet, from a common core of group of people who had an interest in one thing that was so dedicated that they met each other through this means. Yeah. You know,
found your specific hobby and found out that all these other people are super super into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got like a little internet friend group.
Well, you can become a somebody without even leaving your house these days.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. It's crazy. Just make a video, YouTube video that goes well.
That's the world that we live in now.
We were just talking before you got here about, we won't go back over it, but I don't know if you ever played Flappy Bird.
I have not, but it's a
little app, that the guy was making 50K a day on it over, and he recently just decided he was going to pull it because he's a Vietnamese video game creator, and he was like, this is complicating my life. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is a curse.
I hate money.
Yeah, so, I mean, not so crazy.
Shit moves too fast nowadays, man. Like, I don't know if somebody said this or it came from my own mind. That's how fucking fast information is coming in and out of me. But it's like we are evolving technologically, like, into like way too fast. Like, because we're evolving too fast for our like physical bodies.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
that's very true.
Like, is our brain gonna evolve to process all this information very quickly, or are we just like taking a wrong path that's just totally messing us up? You know what I mean? That's why I think books and magazines and like physical media, those are, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, magazines, who reads those? You know, like, when you're on an airplane, you know, yeah, I can find it online. But when you do that, they've done studies. I've seen this in Wired magazine. Once again, a magazine that I actually read because, you know, especially since after this article. But anyway, they were saying that like people who process the majority of their information online have like a more scattered idea of things and all this stuff. Whereas you read books and magazines and things that demand, you know, you pick up a book and you have a book and it's on one thing, and you can't just be like halfway through and then be like, I wonder what's on Twitter, and then like, I wonder like what the Wikipedia says about this topic here, and then you fall down this rabbit hole, and then before you know it, you've got away from the source material, your focus has gone from it, and you're not building up a solid foundation in your head of what this turn by turn book has to offer you in a continuous process.
I'm bad with that.
You get scattered.
Like, you know how many times I've been watching a YouTube video and been thinking about another YouTube video and went and opened another window, opened YouTube and looked up that video and had it, like, ready, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time. Like, I fucking can't focus. There I have a one-liner I told Daniel. I don't know if I'm going to use it or not, but it's funny in my head. It's sort of like, I guess just comes from, like, listening to a lot of Hedberg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got this in my head. I was like, I want to make a focus group of people with ADD. See? All right, that worked on him.
It's pretty good.
That's good.
I think I'm going to say that tonight and just move on, because I don't have any other one-liners. I don't even have anything to riff on about that.
That's why I love one-liners. I have, like, a stock of one-liners that are just so good to just get a laugh, that they're just things I thought about and then didn't bother to think of anything else. Didn't necessarily need to think about anything else. Like, that, it was funny just like that. And then you can just leave it be. I mean, it doesn't give you a lot of time to fill up, but I mean, just get the stoking the fire or making a little transition or something like that.
Yeah.
It's good to have a bag of one-liners.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like to have a couple more of those.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought about that the other day. It just made me laugh, so I think I'm going to use it. Usually if it makes me laugh, like, there's something. At least it's worth trying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, I'll never come up with anything just sitting in my house. But if I'm talking with somebody, and like you said, like, you just, when you're in conversation, you catch things that you think are really fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have like an idea about whatever somebody said, and it just kind of works out that way. Mm-hmm. Like, still haven't like putting pen to paper. What the fuck's the matter with me, dude? I gotta go back to college. I have to. But I've never put pen to paper. Like, I haven't really written a joke yet. Nothing. I lie on stage about that Kindle Fire jerk off joke. So that's the first joke I ever wrote. I didn't write it. You know? I don't know what it is. I like can't make myself do it. But I think that's like where I'm getting this information, huh? Lazy as shit, that's it. I am lazy, man. I gotta figure out a way to get disciplined. You know what I'm saying? And not spanked, but disciplined about things. And stick to that. Like, that's like a recurring idea in my life. Because, like, I don't have my parents around anymore. And, like, that kind of throws a lot of things out the window. Like, I don't know the last time, for real, I don't know the last time I wore socks that matched. I'm not wearing them right now. You know? Like, now that I have to do everything on my own, like,
shit just doesn't get done sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, my house is often a wreck. And I got to find a way to, like, give myself specific structure. I feel like if I want to get, like, be more successful in avenues in my life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be a man of action. You got to be motivated. You got to be self-motivated. You got to make sure that you're getting into a routine of doing things, you know? You know, find things that you can do to make your... listen to music while you're doing stuff. You know, cleaning's not fun, but if you're cleaning... well, you got music on, that's fine. I mean, laundry is another one that's always a pain. But you have to remember, like, doing those things, keeping your house clean, and just doing things that make the rest of everything that you've got put in order is going to make you more... when I was at school, I had to do, like, a psychology paper of some kind, and I couldn't really figure out how I could make this work and connect the dots because it was so far-fetched. But I had this idea. I wanted to do a study on people and see, based on how clean they keep their cars, their house, their spaces that they inhabit, their desk maybe at work, and then figure out what their IQ was, or like what their organizational skills were, how some form of mental test to do with them. But that's a very tricky thing because it could go a lot of different ways. But yeah. I believe there's a positive correlation. You know, someone who doesn't have their shit together, and you go to their house or their car and none of their shit's together, you know,
I think those little things affect everything.
Right.
You know, I think it's all a piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm. you know? Like, when I got a pile of laundry, like, sitting in my face. Laundry's so fucking easy to do. Think about Think about how people used to deal with that shit back in the day. They had a washboard in a tub outside.
If they were lucky.
And they would hang the shit up and wait for it to dry. You know, that's so time consuming. All I got to do is fill some shit, put a couple of detergent in there, turn it on. After that's done, I just throw it in the dryer. Does everything for me, but I can't make myself do it a lot of the times.
It's just so unmotivating.
I don't have a dishwasher anymore, and now I have like a huge appreciation for dishwashers.
Yeah. Anything you do, like, you got to think, like, with all the stuff that we have that's modern that makes it easier, whether it's washing machines or dishwashers, all this kind of stuff, like, we do take that stuff for granted, and we think that if they go away that it's like hell. But really, you just have to do another process, and usually that process is better for you because it demands patience. You can get into a real good little, like, I try to get into like a zen zone, you know, like just kind of do the basic folding here, do the basic washing here, but do it like intently, not try to rush through it, just kind of do it, and you'll usually be rewarded with like a positive thought strain, you know, which could reflect into your comedy, you know, you just... because your mind's not cluttered. It's not thinking of all this negativity of, oh, man, I wish I didn't have to do this. I could be doing this right now.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that I'm going to have to do this again next week, et cetera, et cetera. That's like when people go to work and they're always looking at their clock. And they're just waiting to get off. But I found the absolute best thing to do is just not look at the clock and just do what you got to do. And just do it. Try to do it well and not create any negativity for yourself.
Yeah.
That therefore bleeds into your coworkers.
Negative energy spreads like a motherfucker, dude.
Yeah.
And
you have to distance yourself from those people who also created in your work environment or your home environment, wherever you're, you know. And you have to distance yourself from that because you don't want that around you because that it all accumulates, you know, your experiences at work, your experiences at home, your experiences right here at this podcast table. That's all going to accumulate in you when you're completely alone or when you're with everybody else. It's just going to keep building and building. So you got to ask yourself, is my life full of, you know, as positive as it can be? And am I being as positive as I can be about it? You know?
Yeah, that's true. I think a good thing to do is find out who the shitty people are in your life, like recognize them and put a pen on them and then cut them out of your life. But they can't just be like somebody you don't like vibe with sometimes. You got to like really decide that this guy or girl is not good for me and you got to cut them off, you know? And that's sometimes like tough to do. Like,
that's what I actually did when I met all of you and became friends with all of you.
Yeah.
It was because the people I was with,
oh, I thought you were going to say you cut us off.
Oh, no, not at all.
I was like, but wait, he's here.
I don't see you as much as I'd like to.
Yeah, I know. But that's another thing, you know, it gets busy, and that's one thing that you can say to people that you want to cut out. It's like, look, I'm just really busy, which is true. Everybody has their own stuff going on, and everybody has work, especially when we're getting into our young adult life like we are now. And which goes back to the fact that when you do meet up with friends, you want people that are positive that you can sit around with and have positive experiences with, you know? But you were saying that you just had other people that...
You're running with a bad crowd.
I talked to two people that I went to high school with, and it's not even often that I talk to them. But I was fortunate to meet all you guys because even though we've all had our moments, it's more positive because we are where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely better than where we could be. So
a friend of my dad's told me this once, and this always stuck with me. It's good information. He said that friends are like elevators. They can bring you up or they can bring you down. That's all he said. And that spoke like volumes with me, you know, because that's really, really true. That guy you're running with is influencing you.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening for sure. So whoever you're running around with, you want to make sure that they're good, that they're bringing you up. Mm-hmm. You should always be around people that are elevating you, you know. Don't let people drag you down.
I recently heard a quote that really got me thinking, and it was interesting because, you know, I like to, you know, try to say things like that or like share things with that with people because I want people to feel and process that and then do something positive with it in return. I had a kid who said, I overheard say, insecurities are very loud, but confidence is quiet. And it was kind of in reference to how people react in terms of, you've probably seen this a lot, where people are just talking. They just throw out all, they're very loud. They make lots of noise. Everybody sees them. They draw big laughs and all this kind of stuff. But are they projecting all that stuff because, you know, they have total confidence in them? Or are they just doing everything they can to get that confidence for themselves? Versus, like, you think of an old Westerner figure or somebody who is very self-assured, doesn't have to go out of his way to say a bunch of things. He can just say one thing, one line, and like that's his stance on it, and it speaks volumes, and then that's it. And they don't have to say anything else. And it's like you either take it as that or that. They don't have to go on and go on and go on and make noises and all this kind of stuff. They just do it. Boom. Insecurities are loud.
My old boss hit me with something. When I hadn't worked for like years when I like had to go back and take care of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed away, and I got down here, and I was living with Lyle, and you just like a swirl, like just didn't know what I was going to do. Cause that's like a really like, it's so difficult to describe, but it just put me in the spot of like no idea of what I was going to do. And, you know, really uncomfortable. And I was like looking around for jobs just so I could get something going.
Yeah.
And when I finally got this job I'm at now, my boss that had interviewed me like affected me really positively and like let me know that, you know, what I'd gone through was shitty. And it's true, it is what it is. It was shitty, but there's today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're dealing with today, we're going to be dealing with tomorrow soon. And there were two things that really stuck out to me. Was he said, you're either doing something or you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
And that's simple, but it's, you know, it's, I felt like that was valuable for some reason. Like, even though, like, I'm at this shitty, like, what I would consider a shitty job, like, I have, you know, fun with the people I'm with and stuff, but, like, it's like I'm a prep cook at the Hard Rock, and it's just like, in my head, that's like kind of like a teenager's job or something like you'd be doing when you're really young, but it got me going or whatever. So this dude really impacted me positively. And one of the things he said that you were just talking about was it's not what you say, it's what you don't say. Mm-hmm. And that's all he said. He walked away. That was the type of dude he was. He thought he was being fucking cute with shit like that. He's like, it's not what you say, it's what you don't say, and just leaves. And I was like, motherfucker.
And that's what we're going to say about that. That's what we're going to close it off and walk away on.
All right. Well,
we're quarter till, so we got to go figure out if they're going to set up. I do want to. Huh? Sounds like the fuck on something else. Oh, good, good. Okay, well, we'll go check it out. I have to, I really want to quick tell y'all about this in recent news just because, like, I was going to drop this early in the podcast, but we got into life and whatnot. Did you guys hear about this guy who got the bubonic plague from his cat recently?
I did not.
6 years he had this cat. He got scratched. This is in Bend, Oregon. This guy got scratched by his cat. The next day, the cat got super ill, so bad that he had to put it down. Went and buried it in his yard. The next day, he goes to the hospital feeling ill himself. Comes back a week later, breaking out in sweat, pale as a ghost. They go dig up his cat, test it, positive for the bubonic plague. And then they test him, and he's got the bubonic plague. Dude goes into a coma for 27 days and loses his fingers.
Huh.
Like, his, I mean, his hands were black. And he was lucky to be alive.
You think that's what that song Cat Scratch Fever is about?
That's what they thought it was. They thought he had
boom,
cat scratch.
Boom, everybody, I'm out of here.
They thought he had cat scratch fever when he first came in, but then a week later when he came back, he was like,
oh, shit.
You got something else.
Well, like what? That's probably something he was like, what, like the fucking bubonic plague?
And he was like, yeah.
Actually, so weird that you brought that up. It's strange. But yeah, you have the bubonic plague.
And they're scientists now are saying that
holy shit,
that the bubonic plague, which is what killed like 50 million Europeans, you know, back in the day from when the actual like people what they referenced the Black Death from, they've coded the genetic line from long dead Londoners that they found, and scientists are thinking that that plague is the original plague for all plagues that we have worldwide today. It comes from that. They trace the genetic thing of the whole thing. And
see, this is why I don't have cats.
I'm not going to Oregon now.
Yeah, Oregon Bend's supposed to be a super cool place too. Like that could be where The Walking Dead is gonna. Yeah, it was. No kidding.
Ain't that a beast?
Thank God we're far away from it. Everybody makes fun of Mississippi, but hey, we're the safest people in the Union. Plus, we have gun laws that like nobody's getting in. Uh-uh. No, nobody's getting in.
Be seeing that one on AMC. Real life.
All right, people, we're going to go do some comedy now. Yeah, that's it. All right, goodbye. Bye.